shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
This afternoon we are talking about God's liberation, with the realization that throughout the nations of God's kingdom there is a great need of liberation, that the nations of God's kingdom need to free themselves from their entanglements, and they need to be liberated from the forces of darkness that are seeking to destroy it. The enemies of God's kingdom are far more tangible than most people realize. The ideas which are promulgated by the enemy and propagated over all the instruments of public opinion have been carefully designed in a strategy to destroy. We are at war with an enemy implacable who's determined to wipe out Christian civilization. These Trojan horses have come into the country, and during World War II, we were invaded by several million refugees, probably closer to 2.5 million than most people realize. And these refugees were alien to our way of life, to our faith, and to our concept, and they were not anti-communists, though they could well have been against the governments of Central Europe, which was quite obvious. And though they may have been fleeing from something they could not destroy, they were not necessarily our kindred allies. They were our enemy. For there is no greater enemy today to the Church of Jesus Christ and to the nations of God's kingdom than the communist nations and the powers that financed and created communism and they that carry out its objectives today. There is no greater threat to Christianity from the standpoint of the secular design to destroy it than the instruments of world communism have been able to produce in an invasion of your society. Probably the most dangerous echelon of all are the psychiatrists, a whole militant army of psychiatrists steeped in the doctrines of the Marxist Revolution, determined when they came into this country to wage a psychological warfare and to move into schools and into churches and into areas of control of public opinion and to battle with ideas while psychologically giving you a guilt complex for your success and a guilt complex for the attainment of your society, because by comparison your enemies did not possess and were called the have-not nations. They try to give you a guilt complex because you did not want to follow the Marxist policies and said you were selfish and not good Christians if you didn't want to divide up everything you had with all the world. And it wasn't a pattern of selfishness. It's an inherent spiritual quality that God has placed in you that makes you reticent against taking the blessings He's given you and giving it to His enemies. We have long established that this nation and most Christian nations will be the first to rush to the earthquake and to the famine and to assist the peoples that are its survivors, irrespective of their race or their background. We have demonstrated all over the world that America flies to their assistance, and this has been the tradition of almost every Christian nation. But we do not intend, if we can, for any part of this situation, have influence upon it, to have our wealth arbitrarily siphoned from us and distributed all over the world and be blackmailed into doing this on the basis that we must thus fulfill our Christian obligations and then have men that hate the name of Jesus Christ tell us what our Christian obligations are. I can think of nothing that is more repugnant to the intelligent Christian than to have organized Jewry trying to tell us how to be Christians. I want you to know, however, that there are factors involved in this hour that are greater than have ever been released for your deliverance. And what about to happen inside of this nation, what's about to happen inside of other Christian nations, is going to be one of the great miracles of God. But to set you free, you're going to have to overthrow the power of the tyrant, and you're going to have illumination where men today have been put to sleep or brainwashed. Never have we witnessed a more complete evidence of this when we listen to advisors around the president that we must now build up a economic security in the Latin American countries by giving them better housing and supplying them with all of the products and all of the development of our civilization and our technological and economic life. President's advisors in Latin American affairs said in the past week that that he's a liberal on the advanced liberal side, but he said, "I don't want to see us lose out to communism." He says, "The only way we're going to defeat communism will be to distribute America's wealth and its prosperity among some of the peoples of Latin America." He said, "We've got to improve the economic lot of the peoples of Havana and of Cuba generally until their homes, they have homes and they have prosperity, and then they won't want communism." So all America's got to do is enter into about a $35 billion immediate program to add it onto the budget, and these people won't be communists because now they'll have something to protect. And all of the pseudo-intellectuals go, wonderful, great vision. Let me tell you something. These people who give you this kind of advice could not be more completely Marxist under any circumstances if they had been seeking to put into every textbook of every school in our nation, Das Kapital. You couldn't follow a blueprint that was more completely communist than that one. Because the Marxist program with a high bureaucracy to administrate it advocates the redistribution of the wealth of the world and take from the people that have and put it on those that never did anything for it and won't because they either lack the vision or the initiative or they're indigent or because of conditions that are out of their control do not have it, and therefore you bestow it there, redistribute it, let the bureaucrat who controls it take over, and pretty soon you won't have any power to produce it either. But I mention this because this is one of America's problems. American people everywhere are asking the question, what's wrong? Where are we going? What's happening? They feel an insecurity. They see the expanse of communism on every horizon. They watch it outmaneuvering us at every conference and threatening and coercing. There are some things they haven't thought through. That is one reason why communism is always successful today, is because our leaders don't take a completely realistic approach to this problem. The enemies of God's kingdom that are seeking to not only enslave us on the inside with a degeneration of our way of life and a replacement by a socialistic program are also planning our subjection. But they have no basic code of ethics to abide by. They have no morality to give assent to. They have no God to give allegiance to. And therefore, their word has no value and their oath is no oath. It makes no difference what they say they will do. They break their word at the first provocation. It makes no difference, my friends, that there are national lines and boundaries and there should be integrity to such national lines. Because being communists, they will invade anybody's boundary whenever it would be to their advantage or they feel that they can do it safely. The Western world, in fighting communism, even still retains in its mind an attitude that we must respect communist perimeters. When he moves out to eradicate your faith and eventually subject your race, then, my friends, there's only one thing. You no longer respect any perimeter that that society of nations possesses. You are at war with the program of Antichrist and the nations of evil, and if you continue to respect every one of their boundaries and all that they claim as their authority right to hold, even though they stole it, while they war with you, you're always going to be losing some and never gaining anything. Someone said, "Well, we can't play this game like the communists do. It's against our morality." And that is true. And therefore, they without any and no code of ethics, and you with one, are always at a disadvantage. And then when on the inside of your nation, the Machiavellian plan expands, and we have the influence and power of those that created the regimes that are opposed to you gaining in strength and in power, no wonder peoples are disturbed. And everything that has transpired to date has been the thing which they aspire to do and which Christ openly explained to John, who wrote the book of Revelation, and the prophets of the Old Testament said they would do. And in the midst of all of this was every assured promise that there was going to come a great deliverance in the house of God and a great liberation in the nations of God's kingdom from these even conspiratorial forces that were moving in. And when that liberation came, a broom would sweep clean in the nations of God's kingdom, and those who were the perpetrators of this conspiracy would be swept out of America and every other Christian nation of God's kingdom. And it's in this book. Every once in a while, we are faced with those who try to take another approach as though the solution to this thing is going to be philosophical. There will be no philosophical solution to world communism designed to destroy you. And there will be no meeting ground of minds that's going to deliver you from the social revolution they're attempting to put over in the United States. There is only one solution, and that's going to be an awakening of the peoples of this nation, an empowering of the peoples of your race, and a determination spiritually engendered that no stranger of race or of political culture or philosophy shall rule over us again. I listened to a fearful, timid clergyman who used the airways a little while this morning talking about our problems. And he said the whole solution is going to be won by refusing to resist. He will never have a war, we'll never have any trouble, we'll never break the peace again if we never resist. No, we'll be slain. He's going to have to talk to Jesus about that because he hasn't sold Christ on that one yet. The book of Revelation tells me that Christ is going to bring resistance. Resistance that's irresistible. Power that cannot be set aside. And he's going to handle this thing with more direct action than has ever handled the situation before. It isn't a matter of hatred. We hate God's enemies in the instance of what they stand for because the scripture tells us this is our responsibility. You may love yours, but you're told to despise and resist God's enemies. The destruction of law and order in the earth was existent before your race came along. And God sent it here that you would restore law and order, and that's biblical. You're going to restore it, you're going to defeat the enemy, and your Father will help you accomplish this, and this is your destiny, and this is your heritage. When I talk to you about the strategy of this psychological warfare fought by trained psychiatrists in the psychological field, they moved out to put a guilt complex on all of your success and all of your progress, try to make you feel responsible for the have-not nations being have-nots when the reason behind your being a have-nation has nothing to do with have-nots. It's because of the spiritual flow of ideas and vision and energy and applied work. You know, you could take America and put America and its people in India and take the people of India and set them down inside the United States and just walk out. At 25 years from now, the most powerful creative nation on the face of the earth would be India because of the people that were in it, and the people that would be overcrowded to the square mile and wouldn't have anything would be the Hindus that had taken over America. It's not because of the land they live in. It's not, my friends, because they haven't been properly located and they don't have the reservoir of resources and material. It's because of a great and highly important spiritual factor. It's the capacities of perception, the wavelength of spirit and inspiration, its initiative and drive, and those things are inherited and they're a cultural background that belongs to a people and belongs to their portion of origin. You are the children of the Most High God. You're going to develop with God-like destiny and you're going to accomplish His purposes no matter where you go. Now, we're not going to trade with them because we don't want to trade what we have for what India has because God put us here and we're going to keep this. Even though the United Nations plans on moving a third of India over here. Did you know that? Going to try to the International Refugee Organization, going to try to move them over. And by the way, I think that that's timely because this is International Refugee Week. Did you know that? Is there, what's an International Refugee Week? Well, it's founded in the United Nations on a program to get all people to put down that selfish program called immigration restrictions. To throw open their nations for the settlement of anybody that wants to move anywhere they want to go. And the argument is that this is a basic liberty. That if inside this nation you can move to any state, or if you want to travel to anywhere in the world, an American can come and go, then all the world should have this freedom to go anywhere they want to go. Well, my friends, there's another principle here. It's like the principle of your house. Everybody's not welcome to come in, or you wouldn't have a house. This nation is not to throw its doors open to everybody on the face of the earth by abolishing the doors. But International Refugee Week is another one of those strange strategies. I looked at some of the religious propaganda that's moving to every clergyman who has an ad in the newspaper. They funnel this material in. It comes across our desks. It fills the mail. One of the biggest problems we have in this ministry is to read and answer all the mail and to read all the things that come, which you don't have to answer, to find out whether it was something you're supposed to pay attention to or not. And you'd be surprised at all the government fronts, which are commie fronts and propaganda fronts and might not be fronts of the government at all, but they're a federal bureau, they're a world bureau, they're the United Nations bureau, they're a bureau for economic development, they're a bureau for handling the refugee situation, they're the official this, the official that, and all of them are spawned in the very barrel of perdition. You say, why? Well, they all of them have some scheme to end America or divide up everything America has or cease to take away your racial identity or your religious identity or call you a bigot if you're not just as willing to share with the religions of other races the mutual acceptance of their supposed spiritual leaders. In fact, one of the pieces of literature that came out of the World Council of Churches was a request upon the part of this organization that they set up a great world ecumenical conference, not by friends of the Christian faith, but of all religions, to ascertain what spiritual contributions might be made by everybody to solving the world's problems. Now, to the uninitiated, to the person that doesn't realize that thou shalt have no other God before me, and woe to you if you give allegiance or attention to another one, this might seem like a good project. The whole project is designed and engenders in its final program the redistribution of your land and of your production. How skillfully have these who deny your God sought in their strategies of enslavement to sell us on the idea that our God, in his embodiment as Jesus, wanted us to turn everything that we were able to produce and everything that he blessed us with over to the enemies of our faith and our race. Every trouble that we possess today comes from a certain violation of principle. I would call your attention in the book of Deuteronomy to these words of the Most High. The Most High, who is not only a most discriminating God, but he proves that the knowledge and the wisdom of the Most High selects and builds and establishes with that which he intends to establish with, mainly his own household, his own offspring. When he saw the trouble the world was in, he sent the Adamic race into the world, though there had been other races here for thousands of years, because they were already in bondage, and you were to build and build and build and build and build. You were to produce a kingdom. He said, thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, and Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. We were speaking the other day in Victorville, called to address and a communist meeting there in which there were people of many churches, and there were people there that came from other organizations and a lot of young people out of the college and high school. We dealt with the strategies of the enemy. Someone finally came up and said, I perceive that you don't believe the Bible. Well, I said, you're a little wrong there, because we not only believe the Bible, we have absolute faith in it. Says, you don't believe the Bible when it says God doesn't have any respect for the origin of a person and they're all equal in his sight. Isn't any passage like that in the Bible? Says, you don't believe in racial equality. You believe in a super race. I said, there's nothing in the Bible about racial equality. That's not what the Bible's about. The Bible's about a race which God hath begotten that's above everybody on the face of the earth, that he sent into the world to raise the world to its greatest destiny. If everybody was equal, they wouldn't have to send us in here to begin with. This person said, you don't think that Negroes are equal to us, do you? I said, no. I guess you've caught what I believe. He says, well, I want you to know that every Negro I know is equal to me. He says, they're all my equals. I said, probably you're right. I would argue with you. You know more about that than I do. Probably you're right. And then he got angry. Oh, he was real angry. I said, you shouldn't be angry. I just agreed with you. You said they were all your equals. When I said, well, probably you're right. You know more about that than you're angry. He said, you're putting me down on the same level. As you said they were equal, I'm going to put you down. You know, even inside of a commie-minded left-winger, if they have been captive and taken over and they are dupes for this policy and they're your race, there's something down inside that just doesn't click even with a strategy. He's going to wake up one of these days and discover that there's only one people you can count on, and those are Christians. Now, there isn't any question about the fact that the strategy of the enemy is clever. But let's turn over to God's instruction for us, and we'll show you the root of the matter. Over here in the 17th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we read these words. One of the things about it, when you're coming to the lands that the Lord thy God gives unto thee, and thou shalt possess them, and thou shalt dwell in them. And when you set up rulers, first we had kings, now we have republics, and we're trying hard to keep it. And we have judges, which Jeremiah said we would choose from ourselves, and all our rulers would come out from the people, and we'd choose them. Just as aforetime. God said, now, thou shalt in no wise set thee any ruler over thee who thou hast not chosen from among thy brethren. Now hear this. Thou shalt not set over thee in thy nations any stranger over thee. Thou shalt have no one set above thee but thy brothers. That's the secret. That's one of the most important things for you to understand. For almost all of America's troubles today come from those who are not our brothers and who come out of other races and other cultures and other religions and other political policies. Most of all, if ever this instruction not to put a stranger over us and select one who was not our brother was important, it's important for us to realize that every Jew that comes into these United States is a stranger and is not our brethren by Christ's own words. And then recognize that out of 123 people in positions of responsibility selected by the president, 69 strangers rule over us in Washington. Do you wonder that one of the strangers said the other night to the press, we are faced with a deficit in government financing, which will show up in the first quarter because of the unemployed. The unemployed can't pay income tax. So the stranger said, what we have to do is increase the tax on those that are employed because we ought to have the money and the others that aren't working can't produce it, so we must increase the tax on those that are employed, and then we got to increase it some more to support those that are not employed. So they get you three ways. You pay your own, you pay those that aren't working, and then you pay to feed it. The stranger said, we must do this because there's nothing, no other way to meet the expense that we're involved in. Who is this? This is another Jew in the administration. This is solution. Someone said, you should just say strangers. Well, I just said strangers. There might be a few new people here who wouldn't know what I was talking about if I kept talking about the strangers. I'm only discussing the fact that this is where the bondage comes in on your society. This is where the bondage moves in against the kingdom of God. Your national greatness is the result of God's blessing resting upon you because you identified yourself with his name. You worship the true Lord God. Your founding fathers and their colonies incorporated in every colony of the original 13 colonies a recognition of Jesus Christ as the embodiment of God and God as the master of their economy. When our constitutional fathers, after the Declaration of Independence, framed up that greatest document of human government, they had released themselves after 2 days of discussion and bickering to go home and pray. And they came back, meditation and prayer, to put together the Constitution of the United States in the smoothest, fastest flow of development. And it was a wonderful document. Now listen. They opened that convention with prayer. They turned the people loose with prayer. They closed it with prayer. The President of the United States, the first one, George Washington, was not only inaugurated with prayer, with a spiritual service, and there was a constant flow of divine recognition, which was from the days of his battles at Valley Forge as he prayed and he meditated until he was entertaining both in Philadelphia and over in his own home later in Mount Vernon. And one of the things that is noted about the life of George Washington was his implicit realization that God was a reality, that he was with him, that he was by his side, as much a person as anybody that he saw, that he was an offspring of the Most High, referred constantly to the assistance and to the guidance of God who was invisible but by his side. And conversation inside of his home would move to spiritual things as completely as it would move to the affairs of his estate or the business of the nation. I tell you, when people become as accustomed to the presence of God and inside the realization of their minds and hearts recognized his ever-abiding presence until it's just as much a consideration of his presence as it is the one they talk to, then, my friends, a God-conscious nation moves to victory, to development, achievement. Every sessions of our Congress and their joint sessions and individual ones from that day down to the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt were opened with prayer and they were closed with prayer. The name of the Eternal was constant upon their lips. These strangers that have come into our land to put their bondage upon us know that they first have to displace the Father, and they've got to displace the identity of his revelation. And so now they are doing everything possible to see that no one, either in the Congress or in any inauguration of the President or anything else, uses the name of Jesus Christ, which they hate. Even a cardinal had to get around it. Took too long getting around it, too. Even the smoke came out of the roast. The significant factor, however, is whenever the enemies of our country can delete the name of Christ from our civic organizations and institutions, from our assemblies and from our holidays. You know, when you were a child and you went to school, they opened the school week with a general assembly, brought all the children into the main auditorium. They opened with prayer. They read a passage of the scripture. They sang songs, folklore, and spiritual and patriotic. And they gave the instructions for the week, and they went to their classrooms from the New England states to California. And they came into the classroom in the morning, and it was generally open with a salute to the flag, the Lord's Prayer, and they then went about their daily business. But the enemies, the strangers, have come into your land and said that this is a deadly thing. And they've thrown a bondage around you, and they said that this isn't in keeping with the affirmation of our nation on the separation of church and state. Now, I believe in the principle of the separation of church and state as it was intended and as it was conveyed by our founding fathers down to our time. That no individual denomination should be given a national preference and become a state religion. That no individual sect should take over the administration of our nation. But Christianity is not a sect, it is the true faith. And your nation is a Christian nation founded by the cream of men of vision that moved out of the Western European nations of white Christendom. And your Supreme Court on six occasions have said the preponderance of evidence shows here that this is a Christian nation. In a case known as the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States government, pressure had been made that would have suppressed this church, and the Supreme Court upheld the fact that this was a Christian nation, and they couldn't put their hands on the Church of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want to trust that decision to the present court. But the fact remains that it is a ruling over and over again. This is a Christian nation. We are that majority, and it will remain a Christian nation as long as the majority of God's people are its residents. But I'm going to tell you that the process of liberation is going to be a recognition again of the Eternal Father and a placing of his name back without cringing and without shame. For they have tried to give us a pseudo-intellectual complex that it's just not the thing to do to mention Christ or your faith in a public assembly. They're trying to make it feel as though the name of Christ or the faith in your God is no longer to be a proper social discussion in the drawing room. They're trying to make people assume a sort of embarrassed complex if somebody mentions the name of Jesus, because somebody sitting there might not believe in him, or it might be a Jew. Well, if the Jew's there and he doesn't believe in him, let him go. Here should be the embarrassed one that he's there to begin with. Let me tell you, that still stands. You don't follow a policy of God's blessing if men are ashamed to mention or discuss or talk about God's purpose or his plan anytime, anywhere. You shouldn't be ashamed if it becomes a pattern, or embarrassed if it's part of the conversation. For in his embodiment, Christ said, they that were not ashamed to acknowledge him, he in the fullness of spirit is the eternal God and Father of all, would acknowledge right out of the heavens. God has been acknowledging and blessing you out of the heavens in this nation, for its knowledge, even though some men without a close spiritual understanding gave lip service to him, still it was his name. They've reached the point now where they were trying in this last few weeks to take the name of Jesus Christ and prayer, invocations and benedictions out of the baccalaureate and graduation services of this nation. This has gone on in state after state, and who leads it? Anti-Defamation League of the Nazarene. Now this handful of refugees that come in want to change our nation, overthrow our culture, and say it's offensive to them. Well, if it was so offensive, why didn't they keep right on traveling through till they found some place they liked? Because there's nothing as offensive to me as people that hate the name of Christ. Now let me tell you this. That what we mentioned the other night that happened in Kern County was a culmination of pressures in which the superintendent there has decreed, after investigations and pressures and district attorneys and local ones and everyone all lining to the pressure, that they can't have any baccalaureate services that open with prayer and recognition of Christ and close with benediction or use any scripture whatsoever. And they ordered that they were not to have any that used scripture, and it was to be a completely secular program. And that's what they ordained, and they even wanted some ministers to come and carry out their responsibility, but pray without addressing it either to God or Jesus Christ, and give a benediction without giving any benediction that had any spiritual relationship to it. Now, you tell me how you pray without praying to God. You tell me how you pray without praying to Christ or in his name. And you tell me how you give a benediction. Whose benediction is going to be? Governor Brown's? Thank God for men that said no. Ministers that spoke up all over Kern County and said, we're not going to sell out Jesus Christ that cheaply. The city of Taft, why, they got the theater building from the manager, and five churches went together and they held a massive baccalaureate service irrespective of the county, and all the students were there and the graduates were there, and they had a big service anyhow, and they just told the Kern County administration, you can do as you please, but we've had our service. I've been hearing now from all over the county. It's like that, come over to Macedonia and help us. They have tried to make it a rule, which is absolutely outside the pattern of rule, to rule out the name of our Lord. Who wants to do it? The enemies, the strangers within. If you can knock out all spiritual vision and all the face of juvenile delinquency and all the problems you have, no longer a recognition of God, his laws, or his obligations, no longer assemblies, no longer the use of prayer, no longer invocations, and hardly a salute to the flag anymore. You wonder why that we don't have the same spiritual responsibility in our youth and our schools. You wonder why the great explosion that's happening today is stirred up and creates such a tremendous displacement in our youth for things which are wrong, riots at beaches and across the nations. Because this is the way the enemy decides to destroy your culture. What you need is liberation and freedom. It's coming. Across America, there is a continually expanding awakening. And tied to that awakening are some things I would call to your attention quickly. We, with all of these signs and evidences, know we have come to an end of an age. What that new age will be, some men think the revolution will determine. But what this new age is going to be, my father is going to determine. because he's quickening his people and he's raising up his men and he's going to call his people out of their sleep and they're going to cleanse his land. You know, we were talking to you last week about the Brotherhood of the Kingdom, and we mentioned to you the preacher who said, we all should get together, for we have one Father, even God. And we showed you that that passage was the very place where they were pulling the same thing on Jesus they're trying to pull on you. And Jesus said, no, if God were your Father, you'd love me. I'm from God. You're from the devil. We're not brothers. We don't have any common origin. And Jesus played it right out clear. Now, why this preacher ever took that passage, if he had read the rest of it, probably the Jews found it for him, and he never read the rest of it. Because they without doubt had written his program. If he'd read the rest of it, he would have noticed this clearly. Well, the most important thing is the realization of the brotherhood of God's house. For God does intend to spiritually unite the great white nations of Christendom in a solid front against the powers of darkness to awaken his people out of their sleep with the greatest spiritual wave of power in time and history. Someone says, you believe in miracle? I do. Miracle is a spiritual flow of energy and power that has great impact on a physical world that you can't analyze the test tube. Spiritual power that operates on a higher law than men understand from a natural viewpoint is miracle, but the children of the kingdom understand the flow of this spiritual power and force that's irresistible. The world wouldn't understand what you're talking about. They laugh at miracles. But any time a son of God laughs at miracles, he should be ashamed of himself, because it's his own heresies that he's upsetting. We talked to you last week about the fact that one of the great elements of the miracle, what God was doing for you, was his identity with his own people in this brotherhood of his family. And again, I want you to go into the second chapter of the book of Hebrews for one moment, where it says we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, not let this thing slip from our memory. And in this declaration of Hebrews, again, we find the manifestation of the fact that God himself had come to earth, and he had taken upon himself the body of a man. And we read here in Hebrews that he came for whom all things and by whom are all things, and it was becoming unto him as God to come down here to deliver his many sons and bring them unto glory. And he that had set them apart and he that set them apart are all one. And he said, I'm not ashamed to call these my kinsmen, my brethren. Brethren with God. Again, forasmuch then as the children of God are now partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he would destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil himself. And he was going to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime in bondage. You know, we've got a lot of people that are afraid something might happen. There are a lot of people that are worried about the threats of the enemy, bodily harm and imprisonment and death. Let me tell you, the moment you understand the mighty deliverance which God has wrought for you, the power of the enemy can't destroy you by threats or fear. It says here that therefore, he not only did not take on himself the nature of angels whose beings were immortal, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham, your race. Wherefore, in all things, it was behooved God to be made just like his brethren, that he might be therefore that faithful patriarchal family high priest in all the things that pertaining to his deity as it related to you. Now, I want you to understand that one of the great mysteries of this hour is the climax of this age, certain things God said he was going to do. One of these things is the throwing down of the last psychological enemy and physical enemy of your race. One of the things that's going to help bring deliverance is spiritual power greater than men have ever given affirmation to before. You know that as far as God's plan for your race is concerned, he's going to energize and charge you with spiritual power that will envelop your physical being, that will overcome every process of disintegration, that will stop the processes of aging, that will give you immortality and life. So we'll say, what's this got to do with the political situation? When you get the charge that's about to descend on the kingdom of God, there isn't going to be anything that hurts or destroys or makes a lie left in America. You think that all the power and immortality and spiritual force that God's putting out is just to give a demonstration and exaltation of you, the individual alone? What God's going to do and what He's manifesting is power enough to win with. We have some interesting things the Apostle Paul told us after he took that trip into the heavens. And you remember whether in the spirit or the body, he couldn't tell. That shows you how alike the celestial plane is to the physical one. When he came back, he understood something about this race, this white race, the Adamic race. And he said, therefore, as in Adam, all die of the Adamic race. You are the children of Adam after the flesh, but you're still the children of God after the Spirit. And you were begotten of the Spirit before the world was framed. Twice born, born of the Spirit and born of the earth. Born from above, it says in the Strong's Concordance when it interprets it, and born in earth. Now listen. As in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. No ifs, no ands, nothing lost as far as God's ability is concerned. Just because they didn't sit down here then and measure out how many weeks, days, months, years it was going to take to do that. Some people can't read the last half of that verse. They hear some great thing like that and they got to know right down to the second when he's going to do it. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul tells us concerning the incarnate revelation of God that he is able to subdue all things, shall be subdued unto him, by him and for himself, and he shall put all things under his feet. He shall subdue all things. Every last power today arrayed against God's kingdom is going to be subdued. You have read the Apostle Paul when he said, this mortal shall put on immortality. Now that's why I'm not as disturbed, even though I am called to resist as you are all the works of the enemy. When I see these things come to pass, I know we're about at the end of an age. That doesn't mean we're all through and we're going to have to leave here. That means we're just about ready to be empowered for the greatest era we've ever spent on the face of the earth. That we're not about to retreat, we're about to triumph. A lot of people have a strange idea about this. I tell you, you're already the children of an endless life. When this mortal puts on immortality, it's not something that happened at an altar. When this mortal puts on immortality, it means that the only thing here that can die is the flesh, and this flesh will have lost the process of death because life and spiritual power will have taken over and given life back to the body. You know about your spirit? It was begotten of the Father before the world was framed. It's an eternal spirit, and you were born of an incorruptible seed. Some of these preachers better wake up. You couldn't corrupt an incorruptible seed. How could you do it? How could you corrupt an incorruptible seed? Well, it's the life of God, the Spirit of God, and the essence of the divine spirit in you has never been corrupted. Your mind may be taken over by error, but the spirit isn't. The soul can be wrongly influenced, but the purifying factor is the balance of the spirit. So you're born of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. And if your consciousness passes into the celestial realm, it doesn't even know that it's made a transition, except that it learns and knows and feels more. The important thing for us to know is the mighty achieved victory which God has for you and for His kingdom. Is that while your incorruptible seed, which is your celestial being, has eternal life, God is going to give immortality to the physical body and perfection to the soul consciousness. Then this mortal will have put on immortality. And for this cause, Christ died and rose again, not to save your spirit, which he never lost, but to give you back immortality. Say, why didn't we take it on? Because we didn't understand at that time. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But God's going to wake up and stir his people. And as they put back on the knowledge of life and power, you're going to see the most unusual spiritual force in all the world start to move through your race. You say, I can't accept that. Well, my friends, the miracle is going to bring it on you. That's what we call latter rain outpouring of spiritual energies that vibrate down through the consciousness and adjust them to the things of God and to a triumphant and an illumined people. Now, we've talked about the glory of God. But Isaiah said, "Arise and shine, thy light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon thee. The light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." You see, you didn't start here, you came in here. Now, what I'm talking about, it's not for the Hottentots and not for China. Let's get this clear. The greatest blessing that ever came on China and the Hottentots are going to come because the children of God are empowered and illuminated. But you can't just go out and put this down on people that can't receive it, wouldn't understand it, wouldn't know what to do with it. Someone said, "What about the enemies of God?" Today are going to come when even the synagogue of Satan, and they all are going to worship at your feet. The day these people worship at your feet, we're going to say, the millennium has arrived. Peace has come. But from now till that time comes, we're going to resist the darkness. And we're going to show, my friends, in this generation, the great miracle of God's purpose. That's one of the reasons why, then, we have this mystery. You're born of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, but you're living in a mortal body that even can get old and wrinkled. And what did the Apostle Paul say in the book of Ephesians? "In this hour and before I come, I'm going to do this one thing. I'm going to take away every spot and every wrinkle and every blemish, and I'm going to restore you to myself in that hour of the miracle, my appearing clothed in light, wrapped in glory, without one single disintegrating factor anymore working with you." Say, it never happened before. It can't happen. Let me tell you something that happened before. Did you know that when you migrated out of the land of Egypt, there were 3 million of your race? And there wasn't one sick, one lame, one blind, one halt person among 3 million? I've said this often. You couldn't get 3 million people together on the face of the earth for anything without having to call an ambulance for somebody before you got them together. You can't hardly get a ball game finished out here before you have to call an ambulance for somebody who got too excited. 3 million people. Why? Because God placed the aura of His Shekinah glory over them and they went out under the covering of His Elijah glory. Now, every transgression committed by your race in the captivity of error that they've been in since they've been in the world has been paid for. Not only has it been atoned for in one massive atonement, but you are absolutely free in the sight of God and can stand up and look Him in the face justified. And He said, "I'm proud to say you're my children, my brethren. I came down to abolish fear and death." Say, what's this got to do with the world situation? Because, my friends, God said, "I'm going to empower this people. I'm going to give them illumination." It says that everybody in this day of the pressure, the gathering armies, it says in Joel, the enemy on the outside, the power on the inside, and they're going to call unto the Lord for deliverance. He said, "I'm going to deliver every last one calls on my name." You're going to even learn His name before you're through. One minister said, "You know, there's a strange relationship in this message between political things on one side and spiritual on the other." I said, "You're going to have to wrap up the whole pattern of your life and living with a realization of divine presence. And the very moment you know the Father is not only with you, but is as close as the seat of your consciousness to you, and that you are His embodied children, the moment you realize you're a kingdom that God has determined is going to rule, and that you're going to be empowered with righteousness to do this, and power to resist the enemy, I want to tell you that even the enemy will be the most disconcerted enemy on the face of the earth when the children of God put on immortality, the armies of God put on immortality, and not one single weapon they use against you will prosper. How are you going to whip a people that you can't kill? You know that there are a lot of politicians in Washington who would get brave if you couldn't poison them. You'd be surprised how far-reaching the assassin reaches in. I think that's what happened to Forrestal, and that's what happened to George Long, one of the great congressmen in Washington. It's what happened to Senator McCarthy, and it's what happened to Taft, and a whole lot more. Of course, one of these days, all these mighty men of God are going to stand on their feet too, you know. Well, when it said, "All die, all made alive," it means all. Someone said, "Well, Dr. Swift, that's way out years from now, and these problems are now." I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is already starting to move and quicken your nation. It's starting to move to accomplish God's purposes. It's now. It's happening. Dr. Rigger was telling us about a meeting he was in the Methodist church in which they had Presbyterians there, and they had people from every other movement there, and they didn't even know he was coming. Didn't know him maybe when he got there, except for one or two. And after he listened to him talk about nothing for a long while, he got up and started telling him about the kingdom and started telling him about life and immortality and identity. And when they got through, they were all ready to start teaching truth in their churches and wanted more, you see. You say, that couldn't happen. In the first place, you couldn't get all these people in one church together. That wouldn't have happened a short time ago. It shows you that people are now confused and they're hungry and they're waiting truth and the call's going out. All you got to hear is your truth. Truth will make you free. The liberation that's coming in God's kingdom is going to be empowered, illuminated. Someone says, well, I'm not good enough for that and I haven't been walking close enough for that. My friends, you're going to be so good. Because the righteousness in you is the righteousness of Christ, which He's imputed to you, that the enveloping glory is going to sit on every house in Israel. Someone said some of these people don't deserve it. It isn't what they deserve, it's what He deserves. He says, this is what I'm going to do. This is my grace. First place, let me tell you, your spirits were with Him before the world was framed in glory, and that celestial seed in you and that incorruptible seed is just as bright and just as glorious today as it when it walked the corridors of the celestial realms. And when that light shows through and that mighty glory envelops this body that shall no longer know death, pain, nor injury, and you know that every Christian in all of the Christian churches throughout this nation have been waiting and talking about the day when there shall be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. They've all been talking about it, and now we've reached the end of the age, and we're here, and it's coming, and it's almost on us, and they say, oh, it can't happen. There were some people that when the Messiah was about to be revealed, they said, he can't be born. The Roman power is too strong, and the Jews rule us with too hard a hand. There can't be a Messiah, and he came. There were others, when they saw the body laid away in the tomb, they said, it's all over, he's dead. But it wasn't all over because he was not dead. The body may have been animate, new death, but the power of the Spirit brought it right up out of the grave, and it's a historical fact testified by the evidence of empires. I want you to know this afternoon that some people act like they're dead, but there is a spark of life in there that's going to explode into glory, that's going to cleanse the world. Someone said, we're taking glory away from Christ. No, the glory of Christ is to be revealed in you. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have no time to consummate this subject. You can't consummate it. Liberation is going to come. All the liberation you've ever had come to you outside of the work which God wrought on Calvary came because He awakened you, stimulated you, and you did it. Your national independence, your resistance against any power that will destroy you. And again, it's going to be an awakening and a spiritual power undefeatable. And because of this, I challenge every one of you to become responsible to every political and social responsibility in your society. So don't not only pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but start putting it into practice, start occupying and sweeping with a broom until there shall not remain a Canaanite in the house of God. So we say liberation, yes, spiritual power that can know no death, no disintegration. Spiritual power that can know no defeat. Spiritual power that will give you more vision, more ideas, more understanding than you've ever had before. That will bring absolutely everything to your remembrance. That will lead you to the knowledge of all truth. Says, Dr. Swift, do you believe in a super race? Yes, I believe in one so empowered with God's glory that it's in His image. And I know that to the praise of our Father, when this glory is revealed and every sword in opposition has been broken, they're going to kneel down and worship at thy feet and acknowledge thy eternal Father. And they shall be willing then to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us in carrying out this gospel of the kingdom. I wish you could read some of the letters that are coming in. This tape program goes and goes and goes and spreads and spreads. One minister and his wife wrote us this week on how they have taken these tapes and they play them in their church on Sunday night and on Wednesday. Then they have an engineer on the railroad who preaches the gospel like Brother Scott used to do here and still does, but when he was with the railroad, carried the message. This man takes a copy of these messages and he takes them with him on his run, and he plays them in every town that he stops in. The other copy goes on to another church, and then it goes to another church, and then it ends up in Iowa. From Iowa, it plays a circuit of churches and goes into Nebraska. From Nebraska, it goes up into Idaho. This is on one set of tapes alone that goes to one church back in Minnesota. And they, not realizing that we are crisscrossing these states with other tapes. And then the reports on the reaction as they've gone from church to church. And then I didn't mention that five other peoples, including some attorneys and some doctors, some osteopaths, some chiropractors, are making copies of these tapes and playing them to their groups and their friends all over in Minnesota. Now that's just one set of tapes that go out of here, out of the hundreds of tapes that go out. Now I could tell you the story is a constantly repeated one, and you make it possible, your tithes, your offerings, your gifts. We need your assistance. We need it because we had to cut a little back on tape that we want to expand on this coming week. We have to get tape out along with the other expenses. Don't, my friends, cut back on your regular expense or your regular offering, but if you can just give a little more. You're going to discover that your investment in this missionary program of reaching people with truth, helping to spread truth, is going to pay off with spiritual blessings and benefits. I was very much interested in a left-wing commie labor paper that was handed to me last week in which they are crying about your tapes in that paper. They're crying about the John Birch Society. They're crying about the automation preaching of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. The other day, a group of preachers waited on us and talked with me. One of these ministers said, "Dr. Swift, you've gotten the jump on us." He says, "We thought the Jehovah's Witnesses got the jump when they went around playing those records from door to door. But this tape business has got the jump on us." I said, "Well, you fellas better get home and get milling out tapes too, just so you tell the truth." Did you ever hear of a nation awakened in a day? This is your time. From every part of the nation, we are getting nothing but good reports concerning the outcome of your investment in these avenues of faith. Don't forget, every day, the messages that are going out from the staffs, our messages, Mr. Comperay's, Colonel Greer's, Dr. Stout's and others, these messages are in keeping with the truths which you hear from this platform. And there's not anything spared either. You'll be just as surprised what you'll hear if you tune in. Will you give generously? We need it. We urge you for no other cause but to meet the expense of reaching people and reaching them with this truth. Help keep this thing going to do the will of God.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.